This is Equestrian Legacy Radio's Saddle Up America. I'm your host, Gary Holt, and joining me is my lovely co-host and trail partner, Tina Mae Weber. Hey, Tina Mae.
Good morning, Gary.
How are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. I'm kind of recuperating, trying to play a lot of catch up from being gone all week, and today's a good day to do that. It's kind of rainy outside, and it's a typical kind of gloomy, rainy, foggy day.
Well, it's that time of the year, and you had some great adventures this past week on some trails, and we'll have to talk about those maybe toward the end of the show. But we've got a lot to talk about today, a lot of great guests, so tell us who we have joining us today.
Well, today we start the show with Jim McGarvey, chairman of the Backcountry Horsemen of America. Then we travel to Mancos, Colorado, and talk with Dimitri Schlauer, owner of Hobo's Hideout, Bed, Breakfast, and Barn.
All right, so it's going to be a fun show. Great guest, great conversation that we're going to have. And we want to remind folks that Saddle Up America is made possible by our great sponsors at the General Store. You'll find everything for the horse lover and folks that just love the equestrian lifestyle in the General Store on our website at equestrianlegacy.net. So grab a cup of coffee and join us, and when we come back, we'll be talking with Jim McGarvey. And right now we seem to have some technical problems going on.
Uh-oh, that means you got to sing, Gary.
Well, I guess we could all sing a little Back in the Saddle again, but I'm not really sure what our issues are here. But anyway, do you know what today is, Tina Mae?
Yes, I do. It's voting day.
It is voting day, so it's a day to exercise your right to vote and to support the country and exercise your right to express your opinion. So a lot of people sacrificed for that, but we want to just go ahead and get in the show. And again, I apologize for some of the technical problems that we're having right now, but we do want to welcome our good friend Jim McGarvey to the show. Jim, how are you doing?
Very good, Gary. Good to talk to you. Hello, Tina. Good to see you here.
Hi, Jim.
Well, we've got a lot we want to talk about, but I want to start out first, Jim, by congratulating you on your appointment as a director with the Certified Horsemanship Association. And so congratulations on that. And for our audience that may not be familiar with the Certified Horsemanship Association, can you give us a little background on that?
Yeah, it's a 47-year-old organization, and it started out as called the Campground Horsemanship Association. And the idea being in the early days, which is still carried today, is the name of connote, campground horsemanship is probably geared towards kids. And so they wanted to certify to the parents, et cetera, that indeed the instructors that were taking your kids on maybe for the first time on a horse at the camp were certified, had levels of safety concerns and skills in that. And it has grown over the 47 years to they've now certified 20,000 instructors and clinicians over the years. And in a lot of disciplines, they changed their name to Certified Horsemanship because some decades ago because they really expanded out into to a lot of disciplines. And I think the credo that they live by, no matter what kind of riding you do or what kind of riding you instruct, is that the CHA, the Certified Horsemanship Association, changes lives through safe experience with horses. So I can say that again. CHA changes lives through the safe experience with horses. And I think not only do parents want to hear that, we want to hear that.
So, right, right.
And 'cause we do, it's, you know, we hear – well, I think the longer we've been doing something, the more self-confidence we have in something, and sometimes we get a little careless, and so it's kind of good to keep that in mind. The safe, you know, sometimes people say with horses it's not if it's when, so you can really cut those odds down by doing it right, and this organization does do it right. And We've had an association with the CHA for 3 years. Christy Landwehr is their executive director, and they're in Lexington at the Horse Park area. There is where the event was, and so they operate out of Lexington, horse capital of the world. And we've had a range, which we do with a number of organizations that are not backcountry horseman groups, Equine Land, Conservation Resource, that's out of the Horse Park area too. So we help each other when an issue comes up or something like this. But what they've taken is one of the disciplines that they certify and have trainers is packing. And it's really three levels. One, sort of a day packing thing. The other is over some nights. And then the third level is way out there for a week at a time or more. And there's different issues that go on, and packing is pretty complicated to do it right. You can do it wrong, and it's complicated, but to do it right, you have to know. And so but that's not really, I don't think, why backcountry horse was brought in to because of the packing aspect of that. I think, well, we've got our 14,000 members and spread across the country, and so it helps get the word out for their organizations and for their organization. And I think for our part, why we – we have an executive committee and
right.
Nine members, and the first question everybody asks is this, whatever the spending $100 or whatever, is this critical to our mission? I mean, does this help what we do, or does this hinder what we do? And so we had some discussion because while they do packing, we don't train dressage in too much, and though we have dressage riders. That go in the back country, but not riding dressage, I don't think. But anyway, but trail horses, a lot of folks, when they go through, riding in the ring and various, organized disciplines, competitive disciplines, they will end up doing trail riding, or they'll do it at the same time. It's sometimes there's a theory, even with three-day eventing horses, that is a calming effect to be out there.
Right.
And thoroughbreds could use, off the racetrack, thoroughbreds could use a little bit of calming generally. And so I think we saw this as an opportunity to tell what we do also about the trails. And so it was a good, good matchup for both of us and a great group of folks. The past president, Ward Stutz, is head of the breed section for the American Quarter Horse Association, and which is really an important position in breed. Ward is well known across the country and a pretty fair packer. He said he needs to get certified, or he can go further. But a good guy, and he stays on the board too, even though he's the outgoing president. So you have the incoming president in 2 years. And then the current president for 2 years, and the outgoing president. So you have a lot of experience stays on the board. And,
right.
So I'm learning what they do, but more in depth. And so I think I can bring something to the table in part of their areas. But one of them won't be teaching a discipline. So.
goodness. Well, it looks like an organization that is doing a lot of good, and of course, rider safety is extremely important. And to have a certified program for instructors is just super, super important. So, congratulations again on your appointment to that, and. I know you're going to stay awfully, awfully busy with all the work that you do with Backcountry Horsemen and now being a director for the Certified Horsemanship Association. So congratulations again on that appointment. And some people just love a lot of work. So I guess that would be you.
Well, they say it keeps you young. That's sure about that one yet. But anyway, I think it's easy to... I think if you keep the mind going, whatever the topic is, just it keeps it going longer. That's my theory anyway. So
right. And yeah, Yeah. Well, it's a great program, and again, I was not that familiar with the Certified Horsemanship Association until just recently. So, looks like something that we might want to get involved with and talk with those folks at some point in time as well to kind of help promote that program.
Good speakers, believe me. So, in their
yeah.
Groups, so.
As a matter of fact, didn't you have Darley Newman that was one of the keynote speakers?
Yes, Darley spoke, which is always a great talk, you know. And Darley mentioned, you know, Darley explores trails around the world, trail rides,
right.
And
right.
Oh, Turkey, you know, everywhere, and Botswana. And she's doing a 50 ride trail ride thing in the United States. She's got almost all her states in, but she in her talk she mentioned the backcountry horses being, you know, a big supporter of trails and that. So Dolly's a good one. Yeah, have you had her on the show or?
I have not. I need to get in touch with her and talk with her because Equitrekking is her program, and that's a program that I've thoroughly enjoyed. I think she's been on the air roughly about 7 years or so now. And mm-hmm. would be a fun guest to have join us on there.
Yeah,
so.
She is. She's very entertaining. Tell you how she got started and why. I mean, it's really funny that, you know, she was working for one of the big networks in New York City, you know, and and she's won an Emmy Award for her show.
Well,
John, what's his name, you know, on the Comedy Central or whatever, he was making jokes about her getting an Emmy. But she was telling all her friends, "Hey, John, you know, he's making jokes. Listen to him, you know." So, because he thought it was obscure, you know, trail riding, Emmy, you know. So, she's a good one.
Well, we'll have to try. Maybe you can connect us. That would be fun.
Well, I'll do that.
There you go.
That'd be great. Hey, we want to take a quick break, I think. And while you've been talking, if I've sounded a little distracted, I've been trying to get this technical problem straightened out, and I think we have, but we'll find out in just a minute. Excuse me. But we want to tell folks about our Legacy Club. And Tina May, you want to share a little information with our listeners about the Legacy Club?
Oh, absolutely. It's kind of our way of saying thank you to our listeners. The membership is free. You just jump on our website at equestrianlegacy.net. Go to our Legacy Club membership, join, and when you do that, you're automatically entered into our drawings for free prizes. So it's a great way to get some free prizes. It's a great way to get some discounts from a wonderful sponsor, and it's just a good thing to do.
Well, it is, and again, it's our thank you to our listeners to be part of the free Legacy Club. And when we come back, and I hope we're going to go away for just a minute, but when we come back, we're going to announce our weekly winner today. So you're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, Saddle Up America, and we're talking with the chairman of Backcountry Horsemen of America, Jim McGarvey. We'll be back in just a moment.
I want to saddle my horse in the darkness, ride out in the morning dew. I want to breathe some air that's never been breathed. I want to drink the wine of freedom, toast the good ones that we knew. I want to count a million stars and think of you. Want to see one more hometown rodeo, or its hat's off for the flag. We'll cheer that bucking horse in the wild ride. I want to shoot a hole in my TV set and let the silence ring on through. I want to count a million stars and think of you. Don't tell me that the West is dead and gone. My poor heart can't stand to hear that saddle song. If you're saying that you missed it all, I'm betting that you're wrong. Don't tell me it's dead and gone. Want to see one more Charlie Russell print in some old sale barn cafe. where the old men over coffee tell their tales. I want to ride out with a wagon, smell the scent of springtime sage. I want the wind at my back on down the trail. Want to see suntan, cowgirl cheeks and long braids neath a hat. Want to hear the summer rain on the roof at a country dance. Then we'll ride out our raging storm till the light comes shining through. And then I'll count a million stars and think of you. Don't tell me that the West is dead and gone. My poor heart can't stand to hear that sad old song. If you're saying that you missed her all, I'm betting that you're wrong. Don't tell me it's dead and gone. Don't tell me it's dead and gone.
That's our good friend R.W. Hampton, Don't Tell Me. And, Jim, you've been on the show with R.W.
I sure
in
have.
The past.
Yes,
yeah.
I have. Great voice, great songs. Oh,
well, he's a great guy, and we always enjoy talking with R.W., but that's a great song. And, Tina May, let's go ahead and announce our winner today of the Legacy Club drawing. And who is that?
This week's Legacy Club member winner is Pam Hamlin from Ohio, and she won a Save Horse Highline kit from Camp with Horses. Congratulations, Pam.
Okay, so Pam Hamlin in Ohio is our Legacy Club member, and we'll be getting in touch with Pam to get her shipping information, so she'll receive that Save Horse Highline system in just about a week. This morning, Jim, I was watching, I think it was the Today Show, while I was having breakfast, and they had a young man on that had been a hacker, and he had hacked into the Target people and into some of the federal government, and for about 4 years he'd been doing hacking, and then the FBI finally had tracked him down, and you know what they did with him?
What?
They gave him a job.
Hired him.
Oh, yeah.
They hired him.
Yeah.
They hired him, and they said, "We're gonna put you to work, and show us how you've been doing what you've been doing." So, suddenly, as we're sitting here, and my studio just totally disappeared. I felt like, you know, that guy's back at it again. So anyway, those things happen. Technology is great, but it's kind of frightening at times too. Hey, we want to talk a little bit, Jim, about a couple of things that have just happened recently. And I know you were in Washington, was it about a month ago?
Yeah, just a little over a month ago. Sure was.
Yeah, and there was a 5-year agreement that was signed with the National Park Service and Backcountry Horsemen of America. And can you tell us what that agreement is and what that means to our trail riders?
Well, all the major agencies, at least that we deal with, have agreements, national agreements or memorandums of understanding, which the term is sometimes interchangeable with the Park Service, is an agreement, and in the wording. And what it does, it shows to all the thousands of employees, in this instance, the National Park Service, that we've been vetted by the, you know, Washington, the executives, Park Service executives at the top, and that we're a good organization. Now, this is our third or fourth 5-year agreement, so we've been vetted. But
okay.
But it's they've gotten more. They've went through more of a process. The other groups that have these agreements, that it's just taken longer this year. I think more attorneys might look at it or what have you. But the director of the National Park Service, he's the other signer, John Jarvis, and what it does several things. I think the main one, and I'll go through a couple of the other bullet points, but the main one is that it tells all the national park employees, the superintendents and and the Rangers and et cetera, that we've been approved and that we're good to go to work with them at a local level. And part of this agreement is to get the word out to all the thousands of employees to go ahead and work with us, you know, at a local level. And that really kind of frees up maybe some apprehensions, you know, by the park employees. Geez, you know, I don't want to get hooked up with the wrong organization or something. And so that really helps them all down the line, and it helps us to kind of cut through the bureaucracy. And what we, if they get, even at a national level, get somewhat specific. And, for instance, I'll just read this a little bit of the prose here, but you know, it says the agreement will provide a general framework of cooperation upon which mutually beneficial education programs, service projects, training seminars, other activities may be planned and accomplished in areas administrated by the National Park Service. It encourages, you know, part of it encourages backcountry horseman members to contact National Parks area and to volunteer assistance, you know, for park managed projects and construction, and encourages the parks on their side of the deal. It encourages park superintendents, their staff, to work with the BCHA at the local level, you know, to identify opportunities and activities that are compatible with both organizations. And you know, it's good for 5 years. And one thing that's interesting, and you'll notice that with the Forest Service and the Park Service, they don't just let their logo, you know, the arrow on the plaque, for instance, the Park Service, just right. go out there to anyone. And I can really see their point. You have to get specific permission for a piece of paper or a brochure to have their name, because it's easy for it to look like the Park Service is endorsing a product, you know, mm-hmm. a service. And so right. So we watch that very close. You can use the word, we're working with the National Park Service, but not the logos and things. And we had the opportunity to meet, I think I mentioned this, John Jarvis, the director. And we talked about trying to get a common policy through the national parks of volunteers working in the parks, and it varies by the park and even by the National Forest and the Forest Service, the level that they go to get that done using volunteers. But I think this will help, because there's less dollars in the budget, and there's a greater emphasis now on volunteers, because they realize this is the only way to do it without budget increases, which we're not
doing. Right.
So this was a good one for us. You know, we've got a 3 or 4. This might be our 4th one in a row, but it's important, very important for us. And Randy went to an example to the what's called the Ranger Rendezvous in Estes Park, Colorado, you know, just near Bell, Colorado Springs, and Denver, in that area. And so
right.
at the doorstep of Rocky Mountain National Park, and that they meet the Rangers, retired, and you know, I think apprentice Rangers, if you will, that meet there, discuss, talk shop, and that. And so with Randy and our folks from backcountry of Colorado, we were able to meet a lot of folks and point out, oh, we got this, you know, the new agreement here, and we sure like to talk to you at a local level. So the timing was good with everything that's going on, and we had a great official signing there at the National Park Service offices in D.C., and so they're very very courteous and fun to work with.
Well, that's great, and I noticed, too, at the same time, and this just ties right into that the Mammoth Cave Backcountry Horsemen in Kentucky have just, I guess it was a statement of understanding or some kind of agreement with the Mammoth
yeah.
Cave National Park to have biannual meetings to discuss what needs to be done, and in that case, Backcountry Horsemen will provide the labor, and then the Park Service will provide the tools. And we don't often think about this, but we've talked about it before. Chainsaw use requires
yeah.
some particular training that the Park Service does, doesn't it?
Yeah, it sure does, and it's and the Forest Service. I've gotten it. I've done it several times now. You get a 3-year certification, and then got to re-up it. The first morning, is they show pictures of accidents.
Right. Oh gosh.
I don't know if I want to pick up a chainsaw ever again.
I suppose that's while you're having your bagels and your coffee or juice or something.
Yeah, I watch. Yeah, sitting there and then cutting it up. And so, but I remember being out in the on a work day in a county park here in North Georgia, Garland Mountain, and one of the guys were coming out and he says, "Well, I heard about the certification. There's another more red tape the government puts out." And before I could answer, the other backcountry horseman said, "Johnny, I saw you with that saw, and you're pretty dangerous." Even though Johnny had been cutting wood in his backyard for 30 years,
right.
It's one of those things where you get careless because you don't, well, I've been doing it for 30 years, just fire this thing up and walk around with one hand and zooming, but you don't have somebody in front of you because the chain breaks, it shoots out like a bullet towards, in front of that saw. And there's just you move away all the debris around your feet so that if you don't trip with a running chainsaw in your hand, you'll fall backwards, so it's really worthwhile to go through that. It just reminds you, and then it gives a certain level of competency when you're out in the woods, and a certain level of comfort for the Park Service, the Forest Service, that these folks know what they're doing. And it's really needed, and in this instance, the park is supplying equipment and chainsaws, so I think it's a good relationship. And I've not ridden to Mammoth Cave, but not only is it riding there, but it's the cave. It's one of the national iconic places, and so you get a double good news by visiting there. So,
well, it's interesting. Mammoth Cave National Park is probably less than 2 hours. From me, and I haven't ridden up there. I think the only time I've been to Mammoth Cave is when I was a kid, because I think Mother has a picture of us there, and it does date things because I had on my little Mickey Mouse Club cap. They had Jim, you'll know what I'm talking about. A lot of our listeners won't have any idea what I'm talking about.
You need to post that.
That'll be a throwback Thursday photo, I guess, if we can find it. But the real value to the trail riders is that by partnering with these with the National Park Service, we're able to continue to have use and keep these trails open, not only for the trail riders but for other trail users as well. And your website is just great. I had been on that again this morning. Well, I want to encourage our listeners to visit Backcountry Horseman's website. There's a lot of great information.
And visit our Facebook page.
The Facebook page as well. And the website you've done a great job with. There's also a section that I found today, where you can actually go in and connect with the National Park Service and see what kind of proposals and different things that they are getting involved with, so people can engage in the comment period. And a lot of times...
Yeah, and the same with the Forest Service. You've got to be out front there with the new planning rules, that you can't come at the end and say, "Well, you shouldn't do this." Well, let's say, "Well, you weren't here at the beginning to say anything about it,"
Right.
So, it's much more important to view these as they get released, and be on top of it.
Well, we have so many people that become very upset after the fact.
Yes.
And after something has gone so far, it's just a little bit late to get into the ball game. So if they can become engaged in their area, keep up with the trails that are important to them, and become involved with Backcountry Horsemen, I encourage people to do that, because the organization is a great advocate for our trail users as well. So, Jim, what is the website again for folks that are listening?
Well, it's Backcountry Horse, backcountryhorse.com, and now we have backcountryhorse.org too, but Backcountry Horse. .com and .org. Either one works. And,
okay. Well, I would encourage folks to do that because the website and Jim, your folks have done a great job of redoing that website this past year. It's just full of great information. And there's a chairman.
I want to mention Marty DeVal, backcountry horseman in Oregon, who's our webmaster. And he really knows his stuff. It's sort of in the stratosphere. It's what his profession is, you know. And so he said that he's teaching us web technique, and we're teaching him packing. So,
well, it's a great website. A lot of changes during your time as chairman with Backcountry Horsemen, and there's a chairman section on the website, so you can get a look at Jim if you don't know what he looks like.
I might change that.
or you can check later on our Facebook page, and we're going to post a really cool picture of Jim in his Halloween costume.
Oh, man.
Gotta do it.
Well, Jim, thanks for joining us. It's always great to have you be with us. And it's, you know, the first Tuesday of every month we have Jim on, or if he's unavailable, someone that's equally as versed in what's going on with Backcountry Horsemen. So, Jim, thanks again. Appreciate you very much. And sorry for the technical problems we had there to begin with.
Well, thank you, Gary, and thank you, Tina. Talk to you next month.
Thank you, Jim.
Bye-bye.
All right. Well, you know, it is getting close to Christmas, Tina May.
Yes, it is.
We're less than 2 months away. And on EquestrianLegacy.net, you can visit the Christmas shop. And we've got just some great vendors there that have everything that you'd want to find for Christmas shopping on the website in the Christmas shop. So be sure and visit our Christmas shop and take a look and do some shopping. You know, more people are shopping online today, and it's just a convenient way to do that. So check out the website and visit the Christmas shop, and don't procrastinate like I do. So visit EquestrianLegacy.net and visit our Christmas shop. We are going to be traveling in just a moment to Mancos, Colorado, to a great place for people to be able to put on their bucket list. And we'll be talking with Dimitri Schlatter when we come back. And we remind you that you're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio's Saddle Up America.
Once held thriving families, cattle.
buffalo. Alone at buffalo.
One of our most beautiful states is the great state of Colorado, and we're going to welcome to the show now Dimitri Schlatter with Hobo's Hideout Bed, Breakfast, and Barn. And Dimitri, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Hi,
there.
All morning this morning, I have thought about the 48 different breakfasts that you serve.
Well, it's been kind of a challenge coming up with that many.
Goodness. Well, in addition to the food, which Tina May has become very fond of talking about food lately, I think she enjoys eating as much as she does trail riding now. But tell us a little bit about where you're located in Colorado and how Hobo's Hideout Bed and Breakfast came to be.
Well, we're in the southwest corner of Colorado. We actually, from our yard, can see the entrance driveway to Mesa Verde National Park. We're at the foot of the La Plata Mountains, and we're kind of centrally located between Cortez and Durango, which would be our kind of major cities, if you want to call it that. They're still small cities. And we started Hobo's Hideout after coming to Denver for horse shows years ago and staying in other facilities like ours across several states, and just decided it might be something good for us to do in our retirement years.
Well, it's a great.
Awesome.
And by the way, you posted a photograph from your barn this morning.
Uh-huh.
And oh wow. What a view.
Unfortunately, the barn has the best view on the property. The house itself is a three-story monster that kind of sits on the side of a hill going down into a deep ravine. And so we don't get quite as good a view, but the view from the barn is just absolutely astonishing.
Well, it was pretty breathtaking. Wow. And just a beautiful part of the country you're in. And now, Tina May, I'm going to let you visit with Dimitri a little bit, but don't start out with the food, okay? Let's talk about some other things.
Well, we'll come back to that later. We'll come back.
Yeah.
See, I just like to make Gary drool.
Yeah, well, I am.
That's kind of fun.
Yeah.
And I bet you haven't had your lunch yet.
No, I haven't, so... You know, be
okay.
Brief when you
well,
talk
about
that
food. Food a little bit later.
All right.
Talk about that a little bit later. All right. Well, Dimitri, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
I want to talk a little bit. You told us a little bit about how you got started, and how did you come about the name, the Hobo?
Hobo was a nickname that was given by the grandchildren to my husband's mother. She always pretended to be a hobo, and so it just stuck. Part of the way that we were able to come up with the funding for getting this house and starting our business was through part of an inheritance when my husband's mother died. So we just started, gave it a little head nod to her and, you know, her input into getting us started. So
I think that's neat. That's a neat story. All right, now let's talk a little bit about your facilities on your place.
Okay.
Tell us about those.
Well, we have a primary suite. We're very small. We don't have, you know, like 20 rooms. We have a primary suite that has a private master bedroom. It has a queen futon out in the main portion. It has a wood-burning stove. It is a basement, but it is a basement walkout, so you've got windows on two sides that open out into the gardens. There's a private deck, private entrance, a kitchen, a private bathroom, and you've got all the – I guess I'm using that word private a lot, but you do have a lot of privacy. in that basement walkout, and we've put a grill down there, and there's a fire pit and a pond. So when you're, you know, back at the room relaxing, you've got all of the amenities you could come up with. Then we have two upper rooms. We have a room with twin trundles, so we can sleep two in there, and we also have a full bed in another room, and they share a bathroom upstairs. The barn facilities, we built a new barn whenever we moved to the property. We do have our own animals in there, but we at any one time we have at least four stalls available, walk out, some without, some with hardwood floors, some without. We find that we didn't want to go too overboard with the hardwood floors because a lot of horses don't like, you know, the sound of it. So we've got several that have just shavings. And we provide shavings. We can provide hay, but because our hay comes from about 9,000 feet, it's very, very, very high protein. And we kind of recommend that people that are coming from states where they have drier hay to be sure to bring their own so that their horses don't have that big adjustment to make.
Okay, and they have to have certified hay in Colorado, don't they?
If you're going off into the National Forest Service, you should have certified hay. And that is available locally, but our regular hay it's not certified.
I'm one of those people that I don't like to swap my horse's hay too much because it can be really dramatically different when you're traveling like that with your horses. So I do like to bring hay from locally when I do travel with my horses. It just saves some problems. You do that as well. But it's good to know that you do have some for people that's local in your area that they can get hay there as well.
Sure.
Kind of save some room. And Gary kind of mentioned about the breakfast, and that was something that I thought was very unique about your place. And that's what I want you to talk about what is unique about your place. You've got you number your breakfasts. You have 48 now. We were talking about that a little bit back the other day. Tell us what number 48 consists of.
Number 48 is gingerbread pancakes with Honeycrisp apple compote, whipped cream, poached eggs, and applewood smoked sausage.
Oh, y'all are killing me.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't necessarily number them. Like if you called up for number 13, I wouldn't know what that would be. But I have kept a running tally. When you sit down and think about it, it's really hard to come up with how many things you could change up to make for breakfast so that people don't get bored. And so I've had to learn how to make a great many ethnic-type breakfasts that has really worked out. I'm using a number of unusual vegetables, like I make a acorn squash. I half it. I put butter and a real heavy granola with homemade preserves on top, bake that, and then serve that with whipped cream on top. And folks really like that a lot. And so it's just, it's just a matter of trying to use your imagination. My husband likes my Southwest breakfast. I fry up locally made white corn tortillas, and then I put chopped olives, fresh corn, black beans, tomatoes, and then I bake it with two poached eggs on top and serve it with sour cream. That's his favorite.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I guess we better quit torturing Gary.
I'm sitting here. And my mouth is watering. I'm afraid I'm going to mess up my microphone in just a minute. As I drool over this food, but you know, in addition to the food, and of course you are a bed breakfast in a barn.
Right.
So
we
you
encourage
have
people to bring their own horses, and we also accept dogs. You know, somebody shows up at the front door with a camel, I guess we'll figure out a place for it.
Well, and in addition...
Well, tell us about the trail riding.
The trail riding around here is just amazing. The one nice part about where we are actually located, you cannot ride directly off the property. You can ride on the property, but we're not attached to BLM or Forest Service land. However, that being said, we are just a stone's throw from a trail that has a bunch of trails attached to it. It's called Transfer Loop. That's 300 miles of riding, and you don't have to ride the same thing twice. That's in a mountainous treed area, or you can go to the other side of the county, which is maybe 20, 30 minutes away. You can tour Hub and Weep Canyon. Hub and Weep National Monument is there. You can ride and tie so that you can, you know, you ride to one of the individual Anasazi ruins and then take a short trek in to take a look around and come back right onto the next one. Chaka Canyon is also desert riding. So you can really, you can go from, 12,000 feet down to, you know, maybe two and have just a huge, huge change in, you know, the flora and fauna that you'll see. So it, you know, it has its drawbacks that we can't ride directly off, but it also opens up the venue to a whole bunch more, you know, different and novel things to do. So, I think we settled in a good area for this.
Well, and the trailheads aren't too far from your place, and you offer some services. Let's talk about a couple of those with the trailer and also your point to point. Let's talk about them.
Right. Well, for those that come in, we have a 2-horse slant load. That if your horses are friendly, we can actually open up the front section and it can be a 3-horse easily. We loan that to people. All they have to do is show us that they have insurance on their truck. And we loan that out for people that come in and, you know, living quarters or bigger trailers. Because a lot of the trailhead parking areas are a little smaller in some areas. Like if you go up towards Stone or Mesa, the trailheads are, you know, kind of tight for big gooseneck-type trailers. And we also offer, if you would like us to trailer you to a point where you get out and start trail riding and then agree to meet you, we'll take your trailer to that point, drop it off, or just drop you off and pick you up either way.
Okay. And also, you have outfitters. Tell our listeners about that.
Well, we have a outfitter that we have befriended down the road, two. Rimrock Outfitters are just a little ways up the road. They offer, they rent horses, the guided trail rides. They also do, Lynn Lewis is a singer. Her husband plays the wash tub instrument, whatever you want to call that. And then they make you steak dinners at the other end of the trail ride. Johnny Bishop, back down towards Dolores, he will rent you trailers and horses. And in the past, what has happened is you go take your truck, you rent a trailer and your horses, you bring them back to our house, they stable here, and he sends feed the whole nine yards, and then you can ride unguided if you don't have your own horses. So it's kind of convenient all the way around, and we've developed a relationship with these folks, and it makes it, you know, more convenient for people that just don't own their own horses.
Mm-hmm. So you have a big variety of things, different types of riding, different types of terrain on the trails, and different avenues for those that have horses and those that don't. So I think that's
right.
I think that's pretty good.
And the nice part about. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. Go ahead.
The nice part about what you were talking about, the variety of terrain, there are a good many trails that beginners would have no problem on, and a bunch of other ones that are for, you know, real serious intermediate trail riders. So that that's kind of a draw too. You don't have to know that you're sending a, you know, a ranked beginner out and putting them on a trail that they're going to kill themselves on. So that's a good thing.
And we want to take a real quick break here, and when we come back, Dimitri, I'd like to talk a little bit about some of the attractions in the area that you have
as well.
So, and come back and talk a little bit more about your facility itself. So, but anyway, we'll take a quick break. We want to remind you that you're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio's Saddle Up America, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Are you tired of not knowing how to market your business and increase your sales? Sick of spending your hard-earned money on advertising that is not reaching your target audience? Does it seem you are working in your business and not on your business? Meet Sales Creative. We are a full-service marketing agency that tailors our services to the small business owner. Our mantra is, if your business isn't selling, your business is dying. We use unique and custom campaigns that gets results and at an affordable monthly cost. Check us out at salescreative.net. Mention you heard it here and get a complimentary marketing analysis valued at $250. Don't delay. Call us today. See why hundreds of people have put their trust in us for over 6.5 years. That's salescreative.net.
On the porch, a cold blusty air moves that old rocking chair, makes me think he's there rocking back and forth. It's this time of the year that reminds me every summer leaf must fall. I look to the hill from this home that we built. I shake out this old feather quill. Like a chain stitch goes around, this old quilt has been passed down, and I'll give it to our daughter in my time. But tonight the wind whistles the songs he used to sing, and I'll cling to its warmth while it's still mine. It's this time of the year that reminds me when I hear the wild geese call. I look to the hills from this home that we built. The birds take the air and the fox seeks its lair, and I shake out this old feather quill.
Great spot to get wrapped up in that feather quilt and enjoy a cup of coffee and one of those fine breakfasts and look out at the beautiful views that you have from there. But, you know, in addition to, and Tina May already brought up the fact that you're open year-round, but in addition to the great facility that you have there, talk to us a little bit about some of the attractions that are close to your area, because I know you mentioned that Telluride was not that far away.
Telluride, if you're not dragging a horse trailer, is about an hour 15, maybe an hour 20, depending on weather conditions. Durango Mountain Resort, which used to be a ski area known as Purgatory. So those out there that have been skiing a while probably know it as Purgatory, but
right.
It's about an hour and 20 minutes. Then, of course, you have Durango with the old train that still runs during the summer months. You got to have reservations pretty far in advance, but it's a beautiful narrow gauge railroad ride up to Silverton, Colorado. You have Old Silverton, which is an old mining town. You've got all of the national monuments and some really nice museums here and around, right around the Cortez area. You got the Anasazi Museum. Chaka Canyon, of course, Canyon of the Ancients, Canyon de Chelly, all of these are ancient Indian sites. And then there's hunting. Oh, my goodness. The hunting around here is phenomenal. When it is hunting season, I think the population of Cortez, Mancos, and Dolores, like, triples.
Wow.
In fact, we have a good many deer actually on our property, and there for a season we had 20 turkeys that decided that it was a lot of fun to come up and raid my bird feeder. So they were walking across the decks and pecking on the doors, wanting us to come out and, you know, throw feed at them, which we're not supposed to, but they would fly up and hit the bird feeders and just knock it on the ground anyway. There are a good many hunting outfitters that are nearby. We have a couple of times hosted people that were, you know, coming in from other parts of the country and were just waiting to go out on their guided rides to go hunt. I've also cooked for some of the local outfitters during hunting season. So there's so much opportunity for activities around here, including there's five reservoirs within 15-minute drive of us. There's the Animas River in Durango. There's the Dolores River over in Dolores. And so if you enjoy fishing, you won't have to look real hard.
Right. And you mentioned, too, that Mancos has really become an art center itself, hasn't it?
Yes, it has. We have two resident sculptors, Verrill Goodnight and Patsy Davis. They do seminars occasionally. Verrill Goodnight, I think, probably is most known for the sculpture that is in Berlin of a stallion hazing four mares jumping over the crumbling Berlin Wall. It was a gift from, I think, Bush to the people of Berlin at that point in time. And it's one of my horses has been a model for one of her classes, my stallion, and I ended up purchasing a Belgian horse the following year from the lady that owned it, and that year he was used as a model. So.
Oh, wow. Wow, that is so cool. Well, it's a beautiful part of the country, and and Tina May and I were just talking about this before the show. There's so many people that are perhaps on the East Coast that would love to travel to different parts of the country, but they don't necessarily want to haul a horse that far. And
right.
So, you know, it's a great opportunity to come to Hobo's Hideout and be able to access the outfitters and ride
right.
on, I think, over 300 miles of trails, you said, were within 5 minutes of you. And to enjoy the different things to see and do that are within an hour and a half or even closer.
Yes.
Year-round. And you had mentioned cross-country skiing, and so that's, I'm sure, will be coming up pretty soon.
We have a lot of that very, very nearby. In fact, the Transfer Loop Trail is heavily used by cross-country skiers and snowmobilers. And we have a very active mushing community around here. As a matter of fact, Veryl Goodnight has bought her own team and now is actively participating in mushing. And I now have my own sled, and although we don't have a team of dogs, when we can get them to do it, my Saint will work just fine. but nevertheless, and I did want to mention one little thing that we haven't talked about. We have a very heavily landscaped terraced gardens, and we encourage people who want a mountain venue wedding, if they want to bring their horses, they can get married on horseback in our gardens.
Oh, that's cool. That is great. That is great. Well, and another thing that we did not mention, and so people will understand this too, I think you mentioned that you have you actually can accommodate as many as 20 living quarter trailers there.
Oh, yes, without a doubt. The pasture, we're on a dirt road. The road actually bifurcates our property. Our pasture is on one side, a woodlot, and our house is on the other. And we could line trailers up out there all day. And we have two separate sources for water and power out there. And we do a temporary back black water drain, so that's not a problem either.
All right, so that's great. So go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, so people can come, they can bring their horses, they can stay and ride the trails that are around there, or if they want to just come and enjoy the Western experience there in Mancos at your facility, they can do that and have access to horses. So just a cool place to come and visit. And Tina May, I'm sure I'm leaving something out, so did you have anything you wanted to say?
Nope, she kind of covered it. My last question was I wanted to ask her about some of the other features and the other activities that she does there. And I know that she does weddings and things like that. And I'm sure she does different, you know, kind of some catering and things. So I think we pretty much covered it all.
Tina May, No, that's all right. I was just going to make sure that we reminded Tina May that there are over 48 breakfasts that she could have when she came. So,
well, if you look on my Facebook page, you can see some of the food. And there's a lot of pictures of food and flowers on my Facebook page for Hobo's Hideout.
All right. So we want to encourage people to visit Hobo's Hideout, Bed, Breakfast, and Barn on Facebook. And
yes.
And then what is your website?
It's www.hobos without the apostrophe hoboshideoutbbb.com.
Okay.
And I Hobos. Am working on updating.
Okay. All right. Well, it's just a beautiful part of the country, and Dimitri is just a joy to talk to. We had a great time visiting yesterday, and fascinating lady. She raises and shows horses, and great facility there. Obviously, you're a good cook, right, Tina May?
Obviously.
So, anyway, Dimitri, thanks for joining us today. And again, we want to encourage folks to visit the Facebook page, Hobo's Hideout Bed Barn and Bed, Breakfast and Barn, and then Breakfast and Barn, and then Hobo's Hideout, BBB.com is the website. So I look forward to getting out there and visiting with you. It sounds like a great place to come and spend a weekend or a week or longer. Do you have folks that stay longer than a week?
Oh, yes. Yes, I think our longest consecutive stay was 14 days. One woman who has now become a friend stayed 32 days over the course of 2 years. So,
oh, wow.
She was a repeat. We've had people from as far away as New York, New York State. We've had people from Wisconsin. They've come out twice. They're extended stay people. We hosted this last summer a equine drill team out from Oklahoma. And so we're... We're open to all comers, and you just need to call ahead and make sure you can get reservations.
Right, and you told us yesterday about a young couple that had come, and by the time they came back again, their family had grown. So.
Oh, yes. Yeah, they were transfers. Mm-hmm. We get a lot of people who are, A, snowbirds coming from colder climates and going down to Arizona for the winter, and this particular couple was a military couple, and they were transferring to Texas. And then they stayed with us on their way back through. So it's really nice.
Well, we'll encourage folks to visit the Facebook page and the website and make it a point to put Hobo's Hideout, Bed, Breakfast, and Barn on your bucket list, because you're now on mine. So we look forward to coming out and visiting with you sometime in the future.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you.
Well, thanks, Dimitri.
Thank you, Dimitri.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right, and when we come back, we're going to talk about some more things that are coming up. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, Saddle Up America. Kristen Harris's Let Me Ride Down the Rocky Canyon, and I hope our audience has found a new place that they want to put on their bucket list to ride. Tina May, been a good show today.
It has been a good show. I think my bucket list keeps growing.
Well, it really does.
I hope I live a long time.
Well, I hope you do, too. There are just a lot of great places to visit and ride across the country, and so we're going to visit with more of those as we keep going with Saddle Up America. But right now, tell us who we have coming up on next Tuesday's show.
Next week, we have Robert Eversole, the Trailmeister. Then we travel to Bolivar, Missouri, and talk with Sharon Elwood, owner of Palm de Ridge Horse Camp.
All right, so that will be a great show. And then we remind folks to tune in on Sundays at 9 o'clock Central Time to Blessed Trails with Belinda Gale. A great show, and people are really enjoying that gospel program that Belinda does with her guests there. And then on this Tuesday, on Campfire Cafe, we celebrate our 100th show on Equestrian Legacy Radio with Trinity Seeley. Trinity Seeley and Mark Bolander this Thursday as we celebrate our 100th show on Equestrian Legacy Radio. So, again, thanks for listening. We hope you've enjoyed the show. Tina May, we'll talk with you soon.
And we I want to add the Legacy Club membership. I want to remind people that it is free. It is free, and all members are automatically entered in our drawings for free prizes from our Legacy Club sponsors, including this month's drawing from Elkins Creek Horse Camp and Tack Shop, and then our premier sponsor, Hydro Horse, at the end of the year for a two-horse Hydro Horse system. They also get special discounts from our Legacy Club sponsors and campgrounds. They can register at www.equestrianlegacy.net.
All right, so be sure and visit EquestrianLegacy.net and get enrolled in the Legacy Club. And we want to remind you, as always, if you climb in the saddle, what do?
Get ready for the ride.
Get ready for the ride on Equestrian Legacy Radio. Thanks for listening.
Double rainbow through the pine.